Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and today we are in a huge, open, luxurious studio because we are out of doors. I'm recording in my backyard today because I got tired of whenever I have guests over sounding like we're in the toilet, in the bathroom. The echo is just a bit too much. So today, instead, we'll have to compete with airplane noise, which there's an airplane flying over right now. I don't know how much that's going to come through on the microphone. I guess we'll find out together. So anyway, the reason I'm outside is because I have not one, but two special guests today. I am here first with my running mate for Branch 2502 election, your candidate for president, Michael Brazemley. Michael, say hello.
Hi, everyone.
Awesome. And Annie is out here with us as well. And Annie is in love with Michael so hard. And she cannot get enough Michael. And she is sitting on his lap right now and totally content. And it's a beautiful thing. It'll tell you something about Michael that dogs are immediately drawn to him. So that tells you what kind of guy he is, because Annie's a good judge of that. But Annie is also staring at the lady sitting next to her and sitting between us, and that is former candidate for president, Branch 2502, Leslie Hammond. Leslie, say hello to the audience.
Hello, everybody. Hi, Alan. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm glad to have you here. So, yeah, as I mentioned, Leslie has run for president of Branch 2502. It was two elections ago in our 2018 election, and she ran against then longtime incumbent Glenn Norton, who has since passed, and it was a really close election. So, Leslie, tell us a little bit about how that election went, how the voting went, and, you know, just roughly the story.
It was one of the things that letter carriers have the right to do, and that is to ask questions of their leadership, and if they think they have a better solution or another way of doing things, they have the right to run and put those ideas in motion. And our team that we had put together at that time was extraordinary. A couple of them did get elected, and we felt that we had some really good ideas that we wanted to incorporate within our branch to make it better, stronger, better fighting branch. And sadly, we didn't get it, but we respect the will of the carriers, and so it went.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that's drawn us to Leslie, is she is reform-minded. She sees some of the problems that are happening at the branch. And when she heard that Michael and I were running, you know, she immediately offered her support. And it has been invaluable, because it's not just nice to have somebody else who's going to vote for us. It's the insight that Leslie has into the way the branch is running. So back in 2018, when you ran, what were some of the things that you were looking to change back then that still need changing now?
One of the things is the support for the shop stewards, that the shop stewards all together need to be supported with all of their issues. The management of the Las Vegas installation needs to know if they're going to mess with the shop steward that the union is going to come down hard on them. Mm-hmm. And that was the way that I was trained. I was trained in Texas, Region 10. And if I had a problem with a manager, it wasn't just my branch president that would be on the phone. She would show up, or she would get the business agent involved.
Wow.
And the business agent would show up and say, why are we here?
That is amazing.
It was amazing.
That is a big difference. Because, yeah, it's something that you hear from stewards in our branch, that they feel unsupported by the hall.
Right.
And the first thing that you mentioned was training. And, oh, my God, there is, like, no training. We have our steward meeting once a month for whoever can get there. And it lasts about an hour. Or an hour and a half, and that's it. That is the entirety of the training. When I became a steward about a year ago, I was handed a copy of the JCAM, and they said, here, read this. And that was the training. And that is not satisfactory. So yeah, you ran on that 6 years ago, and that still has not changed.
Right.
And if we want it to change, we can't leave the incumbents in there. Because clearly, they have no interest. If they wanted it to change, they'd have done it by now. So what were some of the other issues that you ran on?
Oh, we wanted the branch more inclusive, where the membership wanted to become involved, showing up at the meetings. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be carrier friendly, It wasn't an exclusive club, just a few people that were at the Union Hall and their friends. Mm-hmm. It was something where we wanted everybody. We wanted everyone involved, whether they did the most they could do or the least they could do, either politically. Everybody on my team had a different idea for what they wanted to accomplish, whether it be a picnic mm-hmm. for everybody, like you guys just had the picnic, which was a great idea during election. Let's do that.
Right.
You know, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be limited to campaigning. A picnic is so easy to pull off for the branch, and especially if you do it potluck style, and the people who attend like that too, because it's not just, you know, whatever cheap place that we can get like pasta and chicken from. It's actually good stuff that people make.
Well, we have extraordinary cooks in our branch. We published two cookbooks.
No way, really?
Oh yeah, the branch has two cookbooks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's from years ago, but they're really something. They're
I got
really
one.
Good.
Wow. Yeah, dude, that's great. So yeah, these kind of things that build solidarity are important to the branch, and they're not being done now. And in fact, there still has been no announcement on our Christmas party. Like, we're coming into the November meeting, and we don't even know if we're going to have one this year.
Yeah.
I presumably there will be, but usually it's handled by now. And yeah, all this stuff about including carriers, building solidarity, it's all lacking. And you mentioned something as well about it feels like there's just like a club down at the hall. And it's not just that carriers are meant to feel excluded from that, which they are, but also that the folks at the hall have this attitude, well, if people don't come to the meetings, screw them. They just get what they get, and they don't deserve to be like full members of the branch. And that's something that Michael and I want to fight against. So, Michael, what are some ideas that you have to build that inclusivity and solidarity?
Well, first of all, I think that we should do something like a Zoom meeting so everybody can actually listen in and record.
Right.
So all the CCAs, overtime carriers that's working late, they can actually listen to the Zoom or podcast later on.
We just had a steward meeting a couple days ago, and about how many stewards were able to attend that meeting?
Nine.
Right. Out of 40 or maybe more that mm-hmm. we have across the valley? Because like me, I was working until 9:30 at night, and so I can't go to the steward meeting. So what does that mean for the training that takes place during that meeting? The rest of us just don't get it.
Nope.
So yeah, continue on about the technological solutions there are to these problems.
Yeah, so everybody's got a cell phone now.
Right.
And everybody has access to YouTube, podcast, Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And then Apple has the what?
Apple Podcasts. Right.
Yeah. So
right. There's video, audio, there's Zoom. Yeah. There's all these
things.
So that
we have so many things, especially on the phone, that people have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's not something where it's not a video thing. Everybody can just put on maybe a Bluetooth and listen in.
Right.
Yeah. Whatever it is.
And there are branches out there. There's a bunch of branches that are already doing this to serve their members.
Yeah. And then the Metris, our new vehicle, the Mercedes-Benz Metris, there is actually a connector for your cell phone. So you can listen it through your audio in the vehicle.
Right. Yep. That's exactly right.
You know?
Yep. And you know, at the national level, even, they're discussing doing training videos and doing more electronic stuff to get carriers trained up. At the national convention, when we went to that, there was a class that was called Training Opportunities for Stewards. And I went to that class hoping, like, oh, cool, I'm going to learn about all these other resources. But that wasn't what the class was at all. It was all, hey, in the future, we're hoping to have videos that you can watch in addition to all this other stuff. Yeah, because you make the effort of putting on a training class, and that effort's already done. And so if you just record it, now anybody who wants that class can get it. And yeah, there's no reason to be exclusive in our training. So exactly as you were saying, Leslie, that problem dates back, as far as I can remember, in the union. You know, I tried to become a steward once like 15 years ago, and I felt like I was just thrown to the wolves, that I had no training, no support, I had no idea what I was doing. And I thought to myself, well, it must just be because I came in midterm, you know, when I volunteered. But that's not the case, is it?
No. And that was one of the things that we had run on, is that the stewards need to be given every opportunity to train. We have regional trainings. Mm-hmm. The California State Association, when they have their their meeting. They put on considerable training classes. We've had the state convention, but only people who make it to a certain number of meetings qualify to that. Or if it's the state convention, only a select few are allowed to go. And formal aid training, it's only those who are selected as opposed to those who want to go.
Right.
And another thing that we had an issue with is we have, the Union Hall is doing grievances. And yes, they say they've won lots of money, and they have.
Mm-hmm.
But we're paying for that. And all of the grievances, our union dues pay for our officers.
Oh, yeah, of course. We're a full-time officer.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're doing grievances, it should be on the post office's time, which means that the stewards should be trained enough to be doing the grievances at informal and formal aid.
Right. Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And it's strange to me to use formal aid training to put a barrier in front of formal aid training. And that you just said that like only a select few get the formal aid training.
Right.
What's the downside to giving that training to as many stewards as possible?
Right.
Yep. Yeah, you're exactly right. And then having more formal A's, you make a great point that if there's a formal A at the station, they handle it on the clock.
Right.
And if there are more formal A's, if there are more people putting in that effort,
right,
then that frees up branch officers to do the executive work that they're supposed to be doing.
And the training.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
go ahead, Michael.
Just like the contract says, we're supposed to settle at the lowest level.
Right.
Right? So that means the stewards are supposed to settle it with the supervisors. Okay? So when it goes to formal A, because you can't come to an agreement with the supervisor, you're supposed to be able to go to a station match to settle as a formal A.
Right.
Okay? But we have it set up so much that we have formal A's down at the hall that, I mean, at least the formal A's are getting paid as stewards and while they're down there. And not, you know, we're not, our union is not paying for it. But a lot of that should have been taken care of at the station. Okay. Maybe someone that's going from formal A to going to maybe the step B, maybe that's when maybe the hall can step in. But I mean, it's just a lot of stuff are just not being taken care of. I mean, it's just seems like it's backwards from what I've been taught.
Right. And then the branch executives complain about being overworked and overburdened with all these grievances. And so they're pushing people to settle for bad agreements. They're pushing people not to file grievances that they see as minor. And go ahead. It seemed like you want to add to that.
That's been a contention for me for a while. We should be fighting everything to the utmost ability.
Mm-hmm.
My hero, who Corey Walton, I wished I had known about.
Oh, I thought you were
going
to say it was me.
Well, not yet.
No,
but
no,
you'll
Corey
get your
is
chance.
My hero as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Years, I wished I had known about him back when I was a young steward. It would have helped so much.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to say that you can't win if you don't fight.
That's it.
That's the whole thing. I was a CLC, a concerned letter carrier, before it existed.
Before it was cool.
Because that's how I was trained in Texas, Region 10,
mm-hmm,
and New Mexico. Those guys, they took no prisoners. And I was being trained as an arbitration advocate before my husband's job caused us to transfer to Las Vegas. But they just, and everybody, they supported each other. And if there was a problem at a station and the steward needed help, the union was there for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was no judgment, there was no, well, you know, this, I don't like this guy. And they were there for that steward.
Right.
And that's how I thought it was supposed to be.
Yeah, we had my predecessor at East Las Vegas, a carrier, moved to Texas. And they talked her into, I know you know who she is, yeah. And they talked
She's
her
on
into
my team.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. So they talked her into being a steward there. And then the next time I talked to her, she's like, you wouldn't believe the way this branch operates. Like, they gave me a computer, they've got all these resources, and they have my back, and like, oh, that sounds amazing.
Right.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
That particular carrier was on my team when I ran, and her, the thing that she did is she was very technologically savvy, and she could find anything in a heartbeat. She was excellent, and she would have been a great trustee or more.
Right.
I could have seen her moving on within the union.
Okay, so speaking of trustees, now I want to talk about the current race a little bit. So we have three tickets running. Michael and I, along with Jonathan Munoz, are running, you know, our ticket. And then there is the Long team, which is the current executive vice president, Ladina Long, and she's running her own ticket, stepping away from our existing president to have her own ticket and people under her. And then there's the establishment ticket, the Peterman ticket, which is the guy who is currently our president. And that's essentially who we're all running against, including his own current executive vice president. So on the Peterman ticket, they also have a full slate of trustees. And I know I've talked about it on this podcast before, but the role of the trustee is to check the work of the financial papers and to make sure that the finances are all in order, that there's no impropriety going on, because two people specifically are in charge of those finances and have to sign off on them when we do our LM3 Department of Labor filing. And those two people are the president and the treasurer. So the president is Paul Peterman. He's the head of that ticket. The treasurer is Ken Liggett, and he got elected by acclamation at our last meeting. Two of the trustees are the trustees on their ticket are the treasurer's wife and the president's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Now, that seems incestuous to me. It seems like, how do you get accountability like that? You know what I mean?
Well, that's why it's a good thing. I'm very encouraged that there are multiple people running for this
election. Yeah, I think there's 11, yeah.
But yep. Not just for trustee, but also for the various positions. Other people have ideas, and it's time they come forward and run.
Absolutely.
And it's time that the branch as a whole gets to hear from other people other than the teams.
Right.
When you don't have to elect a team. You can elect the individuals based on the ideas and the contributions they have and will bring to the branch.
Right. Go ahead, Mike.
And that is the main reason why the team that I chose with me, Jonathan, and Alan, it's just the three of us, is because we wanted other people to come up to give us more ideas, keep us accountable, to make sure that we're going to do the right thing. And I felt like that we needed more of different opinions to help us out for the whole branch, because current establishment that's there, they've held the same idea for so long, and it seems like it just has gotten worse and worse. Our environment in the post office in Las Vegas has gotten worse. Our safety has gotten worse. The people's believing in our branch has gotten worse. And so it has steadily gotten worse. And then our current president, his majority of the people that's running with him are people who's been with the same establishment for years.
Yeah, his ticket is essentially, like, it's mostly retirees or people who are at the ends of their career, the people who aren't really in touch with the struggle of the rank-and-file carrier. You know, and this is one of the problems that we have. Like, we had a vote at our last regular branch meeting about doing an informational picket. And, you know, in favor of a fair contract that was organized by Mike Cariff and happened nationwide. So we did this picket, but we had to vote on whether we wanted to do that at the branch.
And it was Brian Riggs who...
Yeah, Brian, yep, credit to Brian Riggs. Yep, well done, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And so he puts this together, and there's debate back and forth, and then there's a vote, and the people who voted against it are the people who are running on this establishment ticket. And that's not the voice of the branch, and that's not the way our branch wants to go. These are also the same people who voted against reform and against accountability at the national convention. And this needs to change. We need to have a vital and strong union.
And if I remember correctly, Alan, you read in the bylaws that we can approximately have 80 to 100 people go to the national convention.
Right.
How exciting would that be if we can get 80 to 100 people?
That would be amazing. You know, the talk about going to the conventions, people just focus on the paid delegates. And there is only a certain number of paid delegates where the branch pays for you to go. But a And you have to jump through those hoops. You have to attend a certain number of meetings in order to be a paid delegate. But to be an unpaid delegate and just represent the branch, there's no requirement. You just have to be a member in good standing or a regular member or whatever it is. And yeah, at the national convention, we could have like 80 people go to that convention. And I think we could pull it off because it's in Los Angeles. And so it's easy enough to just drive there. Like for what we paid for one plane ticket to Boston, we could fill up 5 cars with gas and get 20 people there for the same price that we got one person to Boston.
I wonder how much it would cost to rent a
bus. To get a bus. Well, I happen to have, from my experience with the hiking group, I got connections on buses. And yeah, they're pretty affordable. It's worth looking into.
Next convention is in LA.
Hey, you know what we do? We buy everybody tickets on like the Flixbus bus. They cost like $11 to get you into LA. We just put everybody on a Flixbus. That's the move.
Have you talked about the fact that you went to the convention on your own dime?
I did. That's true. Yeah, I am, as far as I know, the only one of us who went to the convention on their own dime. I paid my own way to the convention. They did not pay for my hotel room. Indirectly they did, because Michael was kind enough to let me sleep on the floor in his room. But yeah, I did all of that on my own. That's a really good call.
I did try to get 2 beds. But
yeah, that's all right. And I tried to snuggle, but he wasn't up for it.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, so
that's well, that all was right. One of the things in Region 10 when we went to training, mm-hmm. is you have a certain amount of money that is allotted by the branch to go to these trainings. And if more people wanted to go, they weren't disallowed from going. We had to double and triple up in hotel rooms.
Right.
And we had to share expenses. We weren't making the kind of money that stewards in Las Vegas are making.
Mm-hmm.
So that money was basically spent to help our expenses, to supplement what the branch paid for us to go to trainings.
Yeah, and I've been looking at bylaws from other branches lately, and I've seen in other branches where they have a fund set up just like we do, but then the role of the president is to figure out, okay, what's the most efficient way where we can get the most people that can actually go to this thing and have it paid for.
Right.
And that's the move.
And once stewards go to these trainings,
mm-hmm.
they are inspiring, because these are our union's best and brightest. And this is where you get the fire in the belly to want to go back and, oh, I can't wait to try that. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to put that into effect.
Right. And it's not being given freely to our stewards now, to our carriers now. And that's a huge part of what we're fighting against, is there's this insularity down at the hall that isn't helping. It's not serving the branch. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I just like to get our general meetings to be more exciting, you know, because it's just like...
That's why I got to be vice president.
It seems like... Yeah. seems like 2/3, 75% of the people are all people that's been with the formal establishment.
Yep.
And so anytime we come up to voting, majority of the time it's votes for them and not for the people actually working out in the street.
So I had an idea for like steward training of putting on like a game show. And we have 2 stewards come up and I ask them questions about the contract or about, you know, provisions, and then they buzz in, and then there's a prize at the end. And that's stuff that can come out of, like, our entertainment fund. Or it can just be, I don't know, a plaque, or who cares, a stick of gum. You know, it's more about competing and getting the right answer and bringing that material to life. And that's something that I bring as somebody who was trained as a teacher, and I spent years at the Carrier Academy doing exactly that, bringing that material to life. And there's... The issue now at that hall is the apathy that, oh, well, everybody's on their own. If they don't like it, they should have done better. If they don't, you know, if they want to know the rules, they should read them. And that's not what a leader does.
And the same thing is when people question. They try to move the meeting along faster,
mm-hmm.
so that person can't ask any more questions.
Yeah, that's true.
And that needs to be stopped. Because people should have be allowed to talk and ask questions, what's going on, and you know, they make it so that you can't ask any questions. It's ruining our branch.
Yeah, I hear you. Yep. All right, so Leslie, before we get out of here, is there anything else that you want to, any issues you have with things that you might have seen when you were down at the hall that need to be addressed, or something that you need, you want our listeners to know? Because right now, you know, you don't have the voice, the ear of all of Las Vegas, but a good chunk of my listeners are out of Las Vegas, and they're listening right now, and they may have their ballots in their hands as they're listening to this. What would you like to pass along?
One of the biggest honors of my life was to be a representative for this union. And I was very cognizant of the fact that it was the blood, sweat, and tears of the carriers that paid their union dues for me to go to trainings and to represent them to the best of my ability. And that I think I will probably be a steward for life, even though I'm retired now, not by choice, but by necessity. But the carriers need to know that they have more power than they realize. And one person can make a difference. And if they don't like something, they can change it. And it's a matter of voting, coming down to the union hall, listening to the people that want to make the changes and saying, yeah, that's what I think needs to happen, and vote for that person.
That's it.
And you don't have to get involved and be dedicating hours and hours. The union can use everybody for everything. And it's the people at my station, Westridge, I felt a deep obligation to all of them, most of them. There's always a couple that will try you and tax you, but for the most part, even if they didn't understand what I was doing when I was a steward, I have the obligation to explain it to them.
That's right.
Anything that they had any questions on, they have the right to ask. Not just me, but branch leadership, anybody. And you should be prepared to answer that.
Yep. Yeah, for me, every time I settle a grievance, especially a discipline grievance, I'm checking with that carrier before I sign off on that grievance settlement. And right. Let them know, this is what I'm doing, this is why I think this is the right course or the right settlement, and involving that carrier, because that's why we're there. That's who we're there to serve.
Right.
And I tell my carriers explicitly at my station, that as a steward, I am your servant. I am here to serve you and make sure that you are protected. It sounds like you were the exact same way.
That's the way a steward is. You are not their judge. You are not the carrier's judge. You are their attorney.
That's it.
And you're there to get the best possible outcome for every grievance that you fight for. And you're not going to settle to get rid of a grievance or a discipline. You have to do the best you can with every one of them.
That's it. And that attitude of service only increases as your position within the union increases.
Correct.
And I know that's what you would have been if you'd have gotten over that hump to become president. That I know that's who Michael is going to be, a servant to the carriers. And that's not what we have in there right now. So if your ballot is in your hand right now, make sure you check the box that says Michael Brazemley, Jonathan Munoz, Alan Gigax, and we are going to do our damnedest to restore this branch and to restore your place in the branch as a rank-and-file carrier. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Leslie, Michael, thank you for coming on today. It has been a pleasure to have you here, and we will catch you guys next time.